This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah.
This is In the Conversation. I am Damian Lemon.
And I am the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
We are here.
In the Conversation.
It's a late edition. We out here chilling.
No doubt.
Not late for y'all, but we out here in these ebony skies. That means it's dark outside. I'm out here having a good time,
hey,
man. What's up, man?
Where you been? All man. Coming back with all this joy.
Ebony skies. I was in Chicago. I was in the Shy.
No doubt.
Know what I mean?
That's Ebony City.
Yeah, well, you know, it's segregated.
You know what I mean? I wasn't on the Ebony side.
I was on the whiter side of Chicago. I would love to go to the South Side, but again, I'm not just going to go out there with no Sherpa. Okay. No game plan.
I think by now we should have a Chicago Sherpa.
We do. Shout out to my man Enrico. Enrico was running and gunning.
Enrico keep you on the white side of town too.
Man. Okay, well there that goes. Shout out to my man Hannibal, but he was out of the city. So
no,
I didn't. Again, like I don't. You know, so funny about Chicago because it is so black, right? It's segregated, but it is so black. I feel like I gotta be related to a couple motherfuckers out there.
You probably are.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, damn, that's the frustrating thing about it because I want to go out there and I want to be amongst it. You know what I mean? See what's what, you know? But again, I'm not going to just for dolo.
Right.
Other than that, I had a great time. The shows were dope.
No doubt.
Shout out to Zany. Shout out to the crew over there. Everybody, man, showing me love.
No doubt.
Shout out to the people that came out, the openers. We had a great fucking time out there. What else happened out in Chicago, man? Shout out to Luminati's. Shout out to
Luminati.
Not the Illuminati, but Lou Malnati's is a good ass deep dish pizza spot out there I tend to go to
that's
when
what
I'm out
they
there.
Call it now.
Yeah, Luminati's.
Lou Malnati.
Some good ass pizza. So I did that. I did Warm Belly Bakery. You know, I fell through the RSVP gallery to see what was good over there. You know, shout out to
what's that?
That's Don C's store. It's popping. It's a nice little, you know, well curated, expensive, luxury items.
$600 hat,
something like that. Yeah. A lot of pricey tchotchkes. But it's some cool shit in there too. Shout out to Prentice. Shout out to King Marie. You know, I'm out here shouting them out.
No doubt.
This is shout out.
Since we shouting them out,
shout out. Keep going. What's up? What you got?
Now I was in Philly.
Okay.
So you know, Layla Gam came through. You know, she always show up. You know what I'm saying? When we in the conversation.
Is LG the number one fan? Is she the number one conversationalist? I don't know if we rank them.
She's the only one we be seeing all the time. Actually, I saw in Atlanta, I saw my man, Yousef 305.
Oh, shout out
That's the second time I done ran into him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He from Miami.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? When I was in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? He ran up on me earlier this summer. So when I was in the spot after my little mirror incident,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? I was cooled out. I was chilling.
Yo.
And he came through and was like, yeah, what up? I was like, oh, my man.
Yo, let me tell you something, man. That mirror incident is really resonating out there. I was in Chicago, a couple conversationalists. I guess we call them conversationalists for now. A couple conversationalists came through the shows and one of them was like, yo, I listen all the time. That story that Ali told about the mirror. That shit was hilarious. Because I feel like many people have been in that situation. So to the point where, like I said, when you was telling the last week, I was like, I feel like this is going to be a mirror situation. Many people have been there, man, but that shit was a hit.
Oh, my goodness. That shit was funny as fuck. I had to laugh at myself on that one. That's why I told it. Because the cat I was with, he was like, man, I was like, man, I'm gonna tell that story on the podcast. He's like, you sure? I was like, yeah, man, that shit was
motherfucker. Why you ain't tell me that? Ah, shit, man. So Philly was cool.
Yeah, it was cool, but it was in and out, man. It was like we ran through real quick, did the shoot over downtown at this little Painted Bride, I think it's the name of the spot is. It's a gallery, theater type of thing. And so we went in, we did the Bombay Artisan Series, you know what I'm saying? They did the winner, we shot it up, got the content, you know what I'm saying? Did the interviews, shot the pictures.
Same artist from the last
series? No. Each city has their own artist.
Who won in this city?
I don't remember her name, but she made like a little crochet flower that was like halfway up the wall and shit.
Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? Dedication.
To win, you think you had to really go.
No,
win.
I mean, you gotta.
The shits that I've been seeing winning have been really like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
This is like some real time and not just a painting. Like in Atlanta, a painting won. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know what I'm saying? It was a thorough painting.
Okay.
A lot of times it'd be like, the last year the cat that won was, he did these Lego incarnations of luxury bags and shit. So it'd be like a Louis Vuitton trunk with a bag, with another trunk and another trunk. And it's like Lego. And then like a Hermes bag, just all Lego and shit.
He paints the Legos?
Nah, it's just intricate as Lego. Piece.
That makes the fucking logos. Yeah.
And it looked like, it's a whole fucking, either a bag or the he did a shopping bag. He did a fucking Louis Vuitton trunk.
Uh-huh.
He did MCM backpacks, like three of them, like a blue, white, and a red. And them shits, you know what I'm saying? They look like the shits, but they Lego, you know what
That's
I'm saying?
Slick.
So that shit, he went, you know what I'm saying? He was all the way out there with
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Installation.
Yeah, it's very installation. Like, the installation shit, you know what I'm saying, give you probably a better chance from what I see.
Then a nigga just doing some strokes on the canvas.
I mean, you know, cats of Hebrew Brantley is one.
Shout out to Hebrew
Chicago.
Yo, they, listen, he all over the streets.
No doubt. He's been all over the streets.
Yeah.
We interviewed him in 2009 we was doing a Ford piece. It was my first branded content piece when I first decided I was going to do this shit.
Right.
My first one, we went to five cities and Chicago was one of them. And we met Hebrew Brantley. And, you know, he broke down kind of like the history of like how art came to be as it is in Chicago now.
Mm.
So in the 60s, when I guess it was FDR, whoever, they had an art fund, a black arts fund that, you know what I'm saying, they spent a lot of money on artists and public murals and shit like that in Chicago. And even after that went away, that was like a... It was part of the culture.
Right.
So, like, cats like Hebrew and all these other cats out there were already drawing these big-ass public murals.
Right.
So, you know, it's part of the whole Chicago culture.
There's a lot of murals out there, too. It's dope.
And I know we talked about it the other day. You were saying, you know, it's a lot of, you know, cool artists, cool culture people in Chicago. And that's probably, like, they are descendants of that time when it was... finance, but then it just became part of the culture.
You kind of feel that way. Like, I see from the people that I know from Chicago that are in art in some capacity, there's definitely like a community that it's like they nurture each other. You know what I mean? Like, they create programs, artist-driven programs, city-funded programs that really like indulge these artists. And you see that shit all over the walls of Chicago. It's dope.
Right. New York, you just got to put up a tag.
Yo, no, but speaking of art and speaking of New York putting up a tag, I don't know if it's social media, primarily Instagram or what, but I feel like graffiti is having a hell of a resurgence right now.
On the streets or at galleries?
On the streets, in the galleries, on the gram, everywhere. Like, I see, on the streets in particular, I see a lot of people getting up. I see a lot of tags. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of throw-ups. I see, shout out to my man Miro. I see him getting busy, going hard. There's a hell of a, my phone is dead right now, so I can't go through my podcast. There's a podcast called, I want to say, it's either In These Words or something about letters. It's a graffiti podcast. If you like a graffiti head, like, they sit down with these, you know, artists that are famed and shit like that. But, like, I feel like it's a graffiti revolution popping again. Yeah, man. I damn near want to start doing some throw-ups on the low. I ain't going to lie to you. Like, for real, I feel I'm getting the bug.
Is it gentrified graffiti, or is it just, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's still
for the culture.
I think it's for the culture. I think it's still scary. I think graffiti... Well, I want to talk about this, too. I mean, there's obviously some gentrification probably going on in it, but I feel like graffiti is one of those things... It's one of those elements, right? But it's one of those pieces of the culture that was kind of always still on the periphery. They kind of maintained their bit of integrity. Like, integrity run deep in graffiti, more so than a lot of the other shit, because, you know, you don't see heavy bags being thrown at graffiti. You know what I mean? People get them, but it's not like the destination. Like, you remember when hip-hop was like, you was just dope to be dope on your block, dope in your neighborhood, people know you was hot, you know what I mean? Then after a while, it was like, that's cool that you dope, but are you getting paper? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure there's people out there getting paper, you know, there's big dog, you know, cars and, you know, them type of cats. But there still seems to be an allure for the cats that just... They just go bombing at night, and then they just all over the city. You know what I mean? Like, and they still kind of, you know, hide out in the shadows. The only time you see them is when you see their name getting up, you know?
Right.
And then I'll say this last thing about graffiti. I was talking to Meryl. This is a while ago, but I kind of, in that conversation, it hit me. Graffiti might have been my most initial direct introduction to marketing and branding. You know what I mean?
I could dig that. Go ahead, explain why.
Just because it was like, if you really want to be known, you know what I mean? First of all, it was all about getting up, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to be a king, right? You want to get known. You want your name everywhere. You want it to, you know, you want people to know who you are, your crew, blah, blah, blah. People going over you, that's a problem. But it was just about billionaire, borough by borough, city by city. But like, oh shit, we know who that person is. That was like your first kind of personal brand.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just something interesting about it.
Right. See, where I'm from, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have the graffiti like that on the walls. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't big as an art form in the streets like that. But, you know, once you start to see it, like after the Wild Style documentary came out, the Wild Style movie came out.
Right.
You started to see it, and then you tried it in your notepad. So it was the thing to have it on your notebook. So, you know what I'm saying? Right. Have your little sketch pad and shit. And then when you talk about the personal branding part of it, once I developed my own little way I did my name as far as my little tag, you know what I'm saying? I never painted it nowhere, no shit like that, but I just started immediately, once I got it, once I saw it, it became a part of, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like a logo.
It was a logo for yourself. It was discovering yourself and who you are. And once you had it, it was like, it's me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the way I could write my name in that shit.
Right.
On my, you know what I'm saying? How you put your name on your work in school and shit.
Right.
And then you just write your name in that way.
Right.
And instead of the regular way, instead of cursive and shit, you just write your name in your little graffiti way.
Yeah.
And then you get it off.
Right.
And then now it's like, oh shit, I can get this off.
Flexing a little bit.
I am who I am.
You're tapping into something.
So yeah, you tapped into being able to create who you are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With that shit. And then, you know, actually, once you add the music and all that other shit to it, you know, it was a whole nother thing. It was like that moment when the time was shifting and you was finding your place in it. And, you know, and graffiti did, you know, help define that place.
Right.
And even now, the way I sign my name is based on that initial joint. And, you know, for a long time, I paid no attention to it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's real high. You know what I'm saying? Real high, you know what I'm saying?
The A.
Up and down joint. So I was in Detroit, and I went to this bookstore, and I, you know, it's a black lady owned this bookstore. You know, I charged the books that I bought, and then I signed my name. She was like, oh, look at that signature.
Mm-hmm.
That is an architectural event. Mm. I was like, oh,
First of all, that remark was smooth.
I was like,
you can tell she work around books.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what I'm saying? But I had forgot
that's an architectural
where that shit
event
came from. You know what I'm saying? You had been doing it so long, You just do it. But when somebody called it out, it's like, yeah, it was meant to be that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have never called it that, but right. Thank you for the terminology, because now I'm going to use that shit.
It's like getting dressed. It's, yeah. You know, it's just part of your flair. It's part of who you are. So speaking of that, just on a side note, I was walking down 81st Street, and I seen this older black lady. She had to be at least 70 years old. Mm-hmm. She had on like a little, like a Cab Calloway zoot suit type of vibe, but it was like a neutral. It was like neutral and linen.
Right.
So it was relaxed, and it wasn't as super vibrant, but it was definitely baggy, and you know what I mean? She had a hat tilted at a super ill angle. And she was just chilling in front of her building. And it was funny because she was, you know how like when you watch, like you think of like the zoot suit, keep people, like if you ever think about that Janet Jackson video with Cab Calloway in it,
right.
And you think about, or like Dick Tracy or whatever, them type of cats, like there'd always be the person on the corner that's like, right. Like snapping their fingers and shit. She wasn't snapping her fingers, but she was like tossing them. She had a couple coins that she just kept tossing in the air, like ching,
ching. To keep that rhythm going.
Just to keep the rhythm. And you could tell she was just out there like, check out this motherfucking fit I got on. At least 70 plus.
Right, right.
And I wasn't mad at that. Shout out to, you know, all the seniors that still keep that, you know, that still throw that shit on, that still dress for the day.
Man, got to be, man. That's, yeah. That, you know.
That's who she is.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's old Brenda with the fly shit on, with the coins.
Yeah, man, that's how I want to be.
Brenda with the coins.
Old school, just.
I don't even know if that's her name.
Put it on.
You know what I mean? Just put some fly shit on.
Come outside. I don't even get fly every day now. Mm-hmm. But as an old person, I feel like that's going to be part of my play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's part of my play.
Right.
Just get fly.
Because it's easy to be old and throw on a Velcro sneaker.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
That's who you don't really want. Yeah. I don't really want to be that.
Nah, I don't really want to. I don't want to shame them, because I understand a good comfort is a piece of comfort. But yeah. I like the old head that still look through their closet. You know what I'm saying? Figure it out.
And I specialize in a comfortable shoe, so. You know what
right,
I'm
but a Velcro is a
nah. Woo! You had to, you know, we had to figure it out.
That's a
we
different
had to figure
thing.
Out another kind of comfort.
Yeah, man. Shit,
so,
man.
So hopefully, if you take care of your dogs now, they, you know what I'm saying,
right.
They'll still be in good shape to hold you up. Later.
Right, right. That's what you should do.
You know what I mean? Yeah. My pops say, no, don't be cheap to your feet.
That's real talk.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that shit is crazy.
Yeah, man. So what else is going on, man? How you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good, man. Shit. Out here watching the world. You know what I'm saying? Trying to put myself in it. I'm going to Miami tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
How long you out there for?
No, weekend. Oh. I think I'm going to leave Saturday. I had to go to Charlotte. But I haven't decided if I'm going to go Saturday or the day of. I got to be there.
It's another event in Charlotte, too.
Yeah, it's actually the kickback finale for the Miller Lite. So,
you know a kickback?
You know what I'm saying? Speaking of the kickback, you know what I'm saying? I was watching the internet, and then, you know, I seen old Issa Rae.
Insecure
Issa. Fame, you know what I'm saying? Aqua Black Girl fame.
Yeah.
Out there on the gram. No, what was it? Yeah, it was the gram. Uh-huh. Out there on the gram stories and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and they was talking about, you know, we having this lemon pepper kickback. You know what I'm saying? She was going to have some people over and they was going to do the damn thing. But as the night progressed, you know what I'm saying? You started to see more and more people come through.
It was like a posse cut.
It was, yeah, it was like everybody from the young black Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you remember when we were saying Oscar so white, you know what I'm saying? Emmy so white, whatever. Right. And then the next year was, you know what I'm saying? Everything
so black.
It was all them.
All them black people.
All them together.
Everybody black, as Issa would say.
Everybody. And then, but the tripped out part was they was in Atlanta.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like they was in L.A. and Hollywood.
A.K.A. Wakanda.
You know what I'm saying? They was in Wakanda, Georgia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Getting it in.
Right.
And it's like it signaled a shift.
Okay.
It's like it's this time right now where shit is different.
Right here.
And
right
shit
now.
Is moving in a whole nother direction where, you know, usually motherfuckers get to Hollywood and blow up.
Right.
you know, they kind of disappear from the set, from the, you know what I'm saying, from the regularness.
From the regular.
From the Reggie Reds. From the regulars. You know, you start seeing them getting fly. That's the only time you see them after they blow up.
No more mid.
Nah, you see them on the red carpet.
Okay.
In their finest.
I got to talk about that. I want to, well, keep going, because I might want to discuss that. Keep going.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this generation,
right?
They pretty much... they cool in their own self and in their own world and the world that they making, as opposed to trying to get into, you know what I'm saying, in the Hollywood Hills, you know what I'm saying, stunt on everybody else that hasn't made it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they in the house, they kicking it, they eating chicken wings and everybody coming through, and you got all the people from Insecure pretty much. You know what I'm saying? What's the girl name?
Yvonne Orji.
Yeah, Molly is there. You know what I'm saying? Rail is up in there. All
right.
You know what I'm saying? All the crew from ATL is in Atlanta. The show Atlanta is in there.
Right.
So, you know, they got all them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Then they had the OG Samuel Jackson in that bitch dropping knowledge on the motherfucking how to eat a chicken wing.
I saw him eating a chicken wing like thoroughly. Like he was going hard.
Like you got to get the gristle right there. That's what
I
knew.
It was a lot of chicken wing appreciation because I seen Yvonne Orji do a chicken wing dance.
Right.
Eating the chicken wing. So I appreciate they are very open and with the love of the chicken.
Just last
chicken liberation.
Listen, just last summer we talked about.
I'm saying.
And now here go the motherfuckers who are.
Progress.
On the Emmys.
You know what,
you know what I'm saying?
Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Yeah.
All the Grammys. You had Janelle Monae in that bitch and Classic Man up in that motherfucker.
Classic Man. You talking about Young Charlie Rangel? Yeah. Jadenna. Shout out to Young Charlie Rangel.
You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't that the event was some big spectacular event. It was something that we all do on a weekend, any given weekend.
Yeah.
But it was just that. The people that was there in attendance, it's like they made a pact to roll. Mm-hmm. Like we up and coming and we rolling.
Right.
So it was reminiscent of like when you had the motherfucking Native Tongues. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all, you know, some of y'all might be too
school
young
them, hip them to the
remember
game.
The Native Tongues. And it was a loosely connected group of different groups of people.
Collective.
A collective of, you know, rappers who was kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Who were some of these people?
You had Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, you know what I'm saying? Queen Latifah. You had Moni Love.
Black Sheep.
Damn, I forgot about Black Sheep in the Native Tongue.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? But it was like the, you know what I'm saying? You had women rappers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All along, you had Queen Latifah doing her thing. But this was like one of the times where women were in the crew and appreciated as, you know what I'm saying, a crew member.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's when they came in and everybody played a part and it wasn't, they just came in to dance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or they just did their own thing and that's the girl record. You know what I'm saying?
They weren't assigned a role. They
right.
They could participate in the entire scene.
Right.
On every level.
Right.
Right.
And so, you know what I'm saying? It felt like that. It felt like they all playing the part. Everybody right. doing their thing. Atlanta Show doing their thing. Insecure doing their thing. Janelle doing her. You know, everybody got their own little movements. But
right.
here we gonna bring all this movement together, and you know what I'm saying, and you know what I'm saying, eat these wings and chill out.
Little black progressive Voltron.
Yeah, in Hollywood, like that's that don't really happen. Usually in Hollywood, it's a lot of divide and conquer.
I guess, but you know, I don't know, cause I feel like I don't know. I ain't in Hollywood. Be honest, full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this though, what I've heard is, you know, there's Hollywood to this black Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously Hollywood is glam and all of that, and you know, being black and getting money, there is the tendency to just stun on niggas to let them know you have arrived.
Because that was the era. Like we went through an era of you had to stunt.
It's not even an era. It's almost like a tradition.
Right.
It's like a, you know what I mean? It's like a, you got to dress like a press release to let niggas know you got it now. You right. ain't broke no more. But anyway, I think that what I've also heard was about black Hollywood and how there was a lot of, you know, support. You know right. what I'm saying? It was kind of, you know, I don't want to liken it to like the civil rights or chicken chitlin circuit, but it's just like, it's a it's a little offshoot, and it's like, until or as we, you know, make strides to get into the mainstream world, let's nurture each other while we are in that quest, right? Right. So let's be each other's, you know, let's be each other's crutches. Right. You know what I'm saying? Take a Jay-Z line. But like, let's look out for each other. Let's have these little on the low little parties. Like, I remember, because when you told me about that, I remember this whole Jamie Foxx story he had. Mm-hmm. He said he went to a Puff party, right? And the shit was bananas. It was crazy. You know, Puff was known for legendary parties. And it was like over the top. You know, because as the Puff parties got bigger, they got bigger. It became a spectacle. Jamie Foxx went to some shit. It was like a spectacle or whatever. And he pulled Puff to the side or whatever. Got him a little time. Talked to him. He was like, yo, this shit is all of that. It's crazy dope. He was like, yo. And then I think Puff told him how much he spent for the party. And Jamie was like, yo, I could do the same type of thing for a quarter of the budget. $400, I could have a party just as dope. Mm-hmm. Puff was like, all right, well, we'll see what's what. And so Jamie Foxx, you know, because he's in Hollywood. You know, the thing about Hollywood and thing about television and whatever is, there's something strong about TV and movies, right? Because that shit is like, oh shit, nigga, you was on TV, you was in a movie.
Right.
Like, that's a huge deal. But at the end of the day, these people are people just like anybody else. They're still trying to get on the next screen. And it's a job, and they got to be in this community. And Hollywood, there's a bunch of people just like on your way to the top, you at the bottom or at the middle, and you see each other, right? Mm-hmm. You become each other's, like, you know, yo, call me if you ever need, you know, if you need anything, if you need just somebody to talk to, if you need a recommendation, if you need somebody to run lines with, whatever. It's a support system, right? So Jamie was cool with a lot of these people, a lot of these up-and-coming people, or the people that have been on television. Oh, that's that girl from such and such. That's the dude from da-da-da. He had the whole party filled with all these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Shit was crazy. DJ popping, whatever, whatever. And Puff was like, you know, he was blown away. Like, this is a dope party. I fucked up the lead, but I think he said, yo, I only spent $400 on this. He was like, why? He said, you know, I put the KFC, I just put it in a fucking fancy bowl, you know what I mean? I know this person, they live down the block, you know her, because you know her from television, so it's a little bit of a hoo-hoo, you know what I mean? But that's just Sheila.
Right.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it was a live-ass party, and the vibe was right. You know what I mean? And, and no matter how much it was, the budget was, If the vibe is popping, it's going to translate.
Right. But we didn't get to see that shit.
Yeah, we it's just no grand. You hear about it. You hear about it.
It's legend.
But at the same time, and that, you know, to that point, there's a good and a bad thing, because you've probably been to plenty of kickbacks. Like, you was telling me last week, you went to a party way back in the day. Mm-hmm. Some girls party that to this day is like the standard for parties.
That was in high school.
Right. But
Monique.
Right. So that was at the high school. You
that
went to,
shit was crazy.
To this day, it was crazy.
Right.
And the beauty and maybe the sad part about it, depending on how you look at it, was that shit wasn't on the gram. It was not really captioned anywhere. Nobody could really see it.
Yeah, they shot that shit up.
It was an urban legend. But the way you tell that story, it bring motherfuckers there. You know what I'm saying? And I think it just comes down to the energy.
But see, the thing about it is, what I see in this little Lemon Pepper Kickback shit, it wasn't even the energy. It wasn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, that it was cracking and over the top. It was just the signal of, okay, it's a young crew of motherfuckers out there that's, they playing the game at the highest of levels, even though they're not at the richest and they haven't made the biggest moves, but these are the ones that are critically acclaimed and you know what I'm saying, they are making the moves for the next wave, right?
Leaders of the new school.
You know what I'm saying? They're leaders of the new school. But usually when you up and coming and it's your first show, you know what I'm saying, and you black, you're not really getting those Emmy nods and those, you know what I'm saying, Golden Globes and that acclaim and, you know what I'm saying, on the cover all the shit all the time, you know what I'm saying, and then still be right in the middle and being cool and doing shit like that and showing it to the world and still being engaged with the audience at a level that makes you feel like you still the homie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then for me, you know what I'm saying? As I watch the movement, I just see right now in this wave, I always say that Shonda Rhimes is like what Russell Simmons was right. to the hip hop generation.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Then Issa Rae is kind of like where Puff Daddy came in as the young. He was uh-huh. an A&R dude. He wasn't even an artist at the time. He was an A&R cat.
Right.
So he was amongst the people.
Right.
But then because of the way he moved, every company wanted somebody like that.
Right.
And the way that Issa Rae and people like, you know what I'm saying, I'm a man from, what's his name, Glover?
Donald
Childish
Glover.
Childish Gambino. I get confused between Childish Gambino and Donald Glover.
Uh-huh. Same person.
Like, I know, but I'm just saying which one to call him.
Right.
But, you know, the way that they're moving, they're causing other studios and other people to say, you know what, we need some of that shit too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that causes something that's bigger than just the wave. It changes how people get hired. It changes how people aspire to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because some people might not want to be on TV, but they like, yo, shit, I did want to produce a web series and shit. She did one and look at where they at. You know right. what I'm saying? So it changes the way, and you can see how people on Twitter was talking about it and looking at that particular kickback and it was the same feeling you felt when Puffy had a party and you just heard about it and shit.
Right.
And you ain't get the invite. You know what I'm saying? Then you wait for the urban legend to, you know what I'm saying, come back. And I just feel like I feel a shift. I don't know. I ain't no motherfucking,
right.
fucking.
You are who you are.
Yeah. But yeah, I watch the shit and I feel like it's a shift. And I think it's an important shift because the implications of that people of a certain look, feel, race, right. you know what I'm saying, aesthetic,
right.
are gonna be able to take their shot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, once Puffy and all them hit, right. if you was, you know what I'm saying, the shiny, you know what I'm saying, rap cat, you know what I'm saying, you was the Grammy like Biggie, you know what I'm saying, it opened up doors and lanes that, you know what I'm saying, to get money at a different level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because of what Puffy now was doing.
He kicked it down.
He kicked it down and opened up the budgets a little bit for the young, wild, black, you know what I'm saying, get at it generation.
Right. No, I dig it. I see it. I definitely see it with Issa. I see it with that whole landscape of people. You right. know what I mean? Like, I see that they not just seizing the moment, they celebrating their moment. They in it, right?
Right?
And then on top of that, I know you're saying it feels very like they not flashy and you know, stunting and shit, but I guess that's also part of their brand too. Their brand is very accessible. They, you know, Donald Glover, Issa Rae, they both kind of came up from YouTube. You know what I'm saying? They were always both like do it yourself type people, of the people, awkward. You know what I mean? Like it ain't that's the part of their sensibility was. We were never going to be the people who's popping bottles, wearing big ass chains. We was the other black people. Right. You know what I mean? That don't really get talked about. You know right. what I'm saying? So let's celebrate the nuance and what we got going on. And I think now that that's like it's in full bloom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's good to see. Like it's just being black, like you said, just some old idyllic black lifestyle, some black Norman Rockwell.
Exactly.
Nigga just eating some chicken.
Just eating some chicken, baby.
You know what I mean? Fucking with the gristle.
You know what I mean? Nah, don't get it twisted. She used to do stunt now. Don't you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna go to as far as to say she don't be stunting right. and shit. She had the yacht party to kick the season.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
hey.
So you know, but if it didn't resonate like this little bitty lemon pepper,
right?
You
know what right, I'm right, right.
Like, so you know, I ain't gonna put nothing past a stunt. Now,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, stunt is welcome.
Once a motherfucker fully ingrained and got your attention,
I kind of feel like people need you to. This is the thing. I feel like there's a little bit of. I hate to say this, but I feel like sometimes the community don't respect you until you stunt on their ass, until you let them know, until you put your foot on their neck with a very expensive ass watch. You know what I mean? Like, just to say, listen, I ain't fucking around. Like, I'll tell you this, speaking of just, because it's always cool when it's stunting from the unexpected, right. you know, corners of the game, right? So Most recently, I'm on the gram. I follow my man Spitter Andretti Currency, you know, Currency the Hot Spitter, formerly of Young Money years and years ago. And then, you know, he's paved his own way, created, what's this, Jet Life. You know what I mean? He's been just pumping out fucking mixtape after mixtape, project after project, creating his own fucking lane, going on the road, getting it in. You know what I mean? Linked up with Wiz at one point. They had their little kind of Cheech and Chong run. You know what I mean? And he's just been like fiercely independent, you know? But at the same time, part of what he like is automobiles. That's his shit. You know what I'm saying? He puts a lot of like... His mixtape series are titled after cars and things of that nature. And, you know, he ain't afraid to get aspirational. But I saw on the grams, again, my phone is there, so I can't access the photo. Mm-hmm. But this thing had a photo next to
a photo.
This was a photograph.
Not a flick, not a pic.
Not a flick, not a pic. Definitely not a JPEG. This was a photograph of this motherfucker sitting next to a good old, I want to say it might have been a Lamborghini, either Countach or Testarossa, with the fucking caption, because your caption got it. Okay, well, it wasn't that. It was a Countach. Either that or what? It was some fly shit, some expensive shit. You know what I mean? But the caption, because you know your caption got to be lit. You know what I mean? A picture is worth 1,000 words, but if your caption ain't lit, nigga, your light
down,
game
down is, back to 475.
Yeah, your likes is not going to go there. But it was like, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, get everything you want. Nigga, that shit was like vision board shit. And the funny thing, what made it even iller, you know, because it depends on who you follow, what comments you see, right? And it was with the comment I saw was Killer Mike in the comments. He was like, man, I needed to see this. I was like, man, me too. So shout out to cats out here getting it, stunting and being humble either way. A win is a motherfucking win. We out here, we celebrating, we kneeling with Cap, we standing with Jamil, we doing whatever we need to do.
Standing with Jamil.
Jamil Hill.
Yeah, I haven't watched that show yet because I don't have cable. I'm a cord cutter.
Right.
So I see that they integrated a new show.
Right.
But I haven't been able to check it out.
Yeah, I like Jamil Hill. I've been a fan of Jamil Hill since. A while back, she used to do a blog on XXL Like XXL used to have various bloggers, you know what I mean, from all different parts of the game. And this is early before like blogs, you know, so like the SK, think Sycamore, like certain people. Mm-hmm. I think Sycamore had said some slick shit about her being like a female sports fan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she checked the shit out this man. You know, I don't bring it up, but it was an interesting retort, like, and held her own, and it kind of made you be like, woo, it was like a beef record. Right. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, hold on, she got bars. And it was at that point, I was like, it was legitimate. You know what I mean? Like, it was, and if you come test, it's going to be some shit. You realize her gun go off.
Right, right.
I learned that a long time ago, very fiery. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So, when I see what's going on now and she's speaking how she feel, it's not much of a surprise. What I liked, because I'm not even all the way on point with what's going on today. I'm kind of catching up. But like, I know she had put out the Trump was a white supremacist tweet a while ago. And then it was the whole, yo, she might get suspended, blah, blah, blah.
Right. But then she put out the boycott. The Dallas Cowboys advertisers.
That was after, right?
That was this shit right now.
Ooh.
She came at Jerry Jones and then
the
said
the big money.
Know, yeah, she was like, you know, boycotted the Cowboys advertisers and shit.
Uh-huh.
You know. Mm. I mean, she had to know that wasn't going. She probably, you know, she had to know that wasn't going to go well. Working at a media company that's get the same advertisers. You know what I'm saying? That's basically. The NFL really runs ESPN. Like, that's the biggest sport there. They year-round.
Uh-huh. Is that the truth? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You watch the shit. You know what I'm saying? What else hold ESPN down like NFL?
NBA get busy too. I don't know. Is like, NFL like that? NFL, yes. I've heard that, but I don't know the numbers. Yeah. Is it like by far?
By far. Like wow. the company is sitting on top of the NFL, though. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
They run the games. Yeah, you know, this fucking
I kind of seen that with Bill Simmons, cuz I think Bill Simmons said something slick about what's the commissioner's name?
Goodell.
Roger Goodell, right? Yeah. He said some shit slick about him and then he got rid of that. Yeah, or something happened. But
You know, so you had a media company, you started talking about advertisers already get kind of
fucking with the money.
You fucking with the money. So she had to know that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, she just went hard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I guess she going to eat these 2 weeks like.
Oh, so that's why they suspended her, because she fucked with that paper.
Because she said that shit about the advertisers.
So Jerry what was the, so who complained? To Jerry complain?
Who complained? I mean, what do you
how
mean?
Did, how did it turn
Trump
into a
complain?
I saw Trump.
Everybody. I mean, but Trump, ESPN, your boss already going to be following you anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Secondly, again.
Remember that. Your boss is following
especially
you.
If you're public like that. And you know what I mean? You the talent, nigga. They
watch
they,
what you tweet.
It ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Tweet what you feel.
Of course, she's already been in this shit.
But you might feel what you tweet.
Saying shit already. So she already know what's coming. She already knows. She might, you know what I'm saying, want them to push it out.
Who knows?
You know what I'm saying? She might want to launch something new and shit on her own. I don't know.
Right.
But she had to know that shit was coming.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
So what you feeling?
I'm feeling like whatever. If she want to ride, we riding. I mean, I don't watch the show, so.
But you ride it still?
I saw somebody post today. When it was time to stand with Janelle, uh-huh. And then they had a gif of a Cube on. It was a good day putting on the bandana,
right.
Then getting up ready to walk out when it's time to ride.
Let's
hey,
get
I'm
it.
Put on my bandana.
Let's get it.
But you know, if we sitting there, if me and her sitting in the living room at the kickback, like
real conversation,
you had to know they was coming for you.
Lemon pepper wing talk.
You know what I'm saying? Lemon pepper wing, like shit. Now you knew that shit. You wasn't gonna fly.
You knew damn well when you press send.
That shit was finna be a problem. Was you trying to get a little vacation or something?
Hilarious. I seen your Instagrams.
You trying to get that severance.
Hilarious. Oh, but, shit.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think, you know, she was down for pushing the buttons and making a statement.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. I think everybody grown.
Yeah.
Everybody know what they got to do. Everybody know their job and who they work for.
Right.
And some people going to react differently than others. Some niggas ain't going to kneel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, listen, man.
Yeah, fuck all
shit,
this.
Shit, nigga. What is you saying?
Right. Man,
you know, and some cats gonna do it, so you know it is what it is.
Well,
so we gonna see though.
Shout out to Jamil. Good luck. Her co-host Michael Smith, I think it's Michael Smith. He said he's not hosting without her.
Okay,
I'm impressed by the solidarity in the media community surrounding it. I'm with that. I like that.
No doubt, for sure.
Shout out. You know, that's dope.
Let me ask you this, though.
Ask me.
All right. We got the kneels. We got the boycotts.
I wish we could boycott the president.
I mean.
I really wish that motherfucker is ridiculous, but keep going.
It's like, like I said, we said this a couple summers ago. We've been fighting fights every week for the last 3-4 years since Trayvon.
Mm-hmm.
Since Trayvon, we've been fighting.
All my life!
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. We've been back in every week. There's some new shit to fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we're fighting for, you know, the racial equality, you know what I'm saying, treatment, and police, you know what I'm saying? Where do we start? Like, you know what I'm saying? Which comes first? The police or the, you know what I'm saying, equality? Like, do we need a motherfucking we need a target?
We need a list of agenda priorities.
Like, what we hitting first? So I don't even know if the oppressors know where to respond. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, they mad again. What they mad about today?
What's the request?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know if we have a request.
We need to get a PowerPoint presentation together.
Something. We need somebody that could articulate the request because they always, you know what I'm saying, they always muddy it up and make it something like, you know what I'm saying, we fighting against the flag or they kneeling against the flag or they kneeling, you know what I mean? It's like they disrespected the troops. It's like, man, we need, you know what I'm saying, how we keep the motherfucking vision focused. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how that works. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I know, you know what I'm saying, sometimes you have spokespersons or whatever, but, you know, I don't know if we have that. We don't have no spokesperson. So we need a way to make sure that the request and the demands are on point. You know what I'm saying?
For, we need like an administration. Like somebody to sort out what the requests are.
Exactly. We need, you know what I'm saying?
We need a server.
We need to organize the, you know what I'm saying, the requests for each individual fight and protest that we fighting this week.
Right.
Because it's a lot of shit to fight, man.
It's a whole lot of shit. I mean, I think equality is I understand it. I'm with equality. That's that's the ultimate goal, right? Equality, because everything is under that umbrella. But it could be a little, I don't want to say vague, but a little broad.
It's broad.
It's very broad.
We could, we want equality to be able to eat at the restaurant with seven people?
Well, exactly. You know what I mean? In Houston's.
In Houston's?
That's one thing.
We want equality to get the loans.
We want
not
that.
To be attacked by the police.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think if we drill down.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not, again, I'm not on the board. But I definitely. You are on the board. Well, I don't know what my ranking is. I know I got to vote. My vote right now, if you had to ask me just right now, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, if I had to pick one right now, I just want I would like the cops to stop shooting and killing motherfuckers just for no fucking reason.
Right.
Or, if you gonna just be doing shooting and killing motherfuckers, you gotta go to jail like anybody else that was shooting and kill motherfuckers. Right. There shouldn't be no outs for you. You know what I mean? Like, that's under the equality package.
If
we're building like a cable bundle of rights.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I feel like the no shooting clause is the DVR of our fucking rights.
You know what I'm saying?
Just don't shoot a motherfucker. If you do, if your ass is bold enough to shoot somebody like we ain't people, then you gotta go to jail. Like a true criminal.
Right.
Even if you gotta, what would you put? What would your first one be?
I mean, that one would be, you know what I'm saying, right there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right under that would be when the police do fuck with me.
Right.
Treat me like you treat Matt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like a white man.
Like a white man. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? If I want to struggle.
Right.
Let me struggle and then shoot me with a taser.
And then run when I get up.
Run when I chase you.
Did you see that shit? You see that video of that white man that gave this cop all the resistance in the world?
I mean, that nigga tried to steal his car.
This motherfucker was with the resistance.
He got shot with a taser and then chased his ass.
He tried to steal a car, didn't get down, all types of... if he was black, he'd have been shot at least 17 times.
I mean...
It was four different times.
We run in the opposite direction. And get shot.
Niggas reach for their fucking license and registration to get shot.
Right. So
with a kid in the car.
You know what I'm saying? That right there, you know what I'm saying?
But okay, what else?
Equal.
What else?
Fair. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Police aggression. Shit, man. After that, man, see the thing about it is it's so
like a little love at the bank.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I got some dreams and aspirations.
You could fix that with good credit and money.
Right. To a degree, but I still feel like there might be a little profilations. I know that's not a real word.
I got a cousin.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm saying?
He sent white folks in the bank for him.
When he get really started getting money and good credit and shit and going in the bank, you know what I'm saying? He's a felon. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He came home, got his shit together, bought a bunch of houses, you know what I'm saying? Him and his brother, they did it. You know what I'm saying? They had an American fucking dream.
As Chappelle would say, white on paper.
Exactly. So he's like, you know, he's like, shit, man, I got 800 credit score, man. Them white folks love me in the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, they're throwing me money. I don't even take it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But that's usually get your shit together, man. That's his whole message. Get your shit together, man.
It changes everything.
You know what I mean? So
that would be, dog, that would be the most effective credit commercial for the hood. Just get your shit together. That'd be the tagline. If you don't go ahead and put the produce the motherfucking get your shit together credit commercials, that'd be the illest credit commercial ever. That's like Everest to the next level. What you doing? Sitting there?
Yeah, get your shit together.
Get your
man.
Shit together. Go get that Benz.
Yeah. Get put into what you want, man.
Right, man.
But you know, it's so deeply ingrained across the social spectrum,
right,
that you have to change not only just the actions, you know what I'm saying? You have to change the thoughts, you know what I'm saying? You have to change the way we are educated. We are educated in the way that sets all this shit up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I want to change the fucking way we are taught, you know what I'm saying? I was in front of my daughter's school the other day, and it's not even racial. This just was a teacher and some kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some white kids, some black kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Just some kids.
Just some kids. You know what I'm saying? And then the other teacher had a little sign that said recess credits and shit. And so
she's holding it up.
The one guy on the side is holding up the recess credit sign, mm-hmm. and then the teacher is. She, you know, they was a little unruly, but they was in line. They was moving along.
How old are these kids?
Probably about third grade.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
That's like seven, eight okay. years old, you know what I'm saying? Second, third grade. And so, you know, they're a little, you know, wobbly line, but, you know, they not being bad or no shit.
Right.
So, you know, the teacher, she stops them, you know what I'm saying? She's like, okay, everybody, okay. You know what I'm saying? This is your last opportunity for recess credits. And right. I was just thinking, is this what we teach them? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have to like do certain things for these points to be able to what? Play or whatever?
What do you get with a recess credit?
I guess
credit.
You get time to have recess.
So you can't have recess without credits?
I guess you can't have recess without credits.
What the fuck is going on? I'm like,
what are we teaching? Like, this is what it is. And then
what do you do for recess credits?
I don't know. Like, I guess you just behave. You do what they say. And I just imagine, I was telling my homies, I was like, man, there's probably one kid in that line just going to jump out the line and be like, shit, I am recess. You can't tell me. You know what I'm saying? About no recess. I'm recess when I want to.
Motherfucker, I don't need no credit.
Recess is free. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker.
That'd be the dope sign. He got his own sign. Recess is free.
And then he just break out and come back next week selling recess tokens to the other kids in line. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you know, you want to play anytime you want.
Beat the system.
Nigga come back, you know what I'm saying? 10 years later, they had that announcement. Yes, old Johnny just did a deal with ESPN for the National Recess League. But I'm just saying, it's like, they kind of just teach you, you know what I'm saying, fall in line, right. Or that's it, or it's over for you. And I remember that from third grade, that the teacher telling us, you know what I'm saying, she was saying, hey, if you don't pass this quiz,
right.
You won't pass this class. If you don't pass this class, you won't get a good job. I'm like, damn, third grade, I'm thinking.
That's what your teacher told you?
Yes, this is third grade. So I remember looking around in the room. You know, I never really had no problems with grades, but I had friends, you know what I'm saying, who weren't on it like that. And I felt kind of away like, damn. So she's saying that my man ain't going to be able to make it in life because he ain't passed this, you know what I'm saying? But then you also saw kids that just checked out, you know what I'm saying? It was some cats that just was like, man, fuck it.
Even way back then?
Yeah, third grade, I was like, fuck
gave
it.
Up.
Fuck it, gummy, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to name a whole bunch of other people.
Don't stay nobody more.
But niggas was like, fuck it. Right. Like they like Gummy would just walk out the class, just leave. You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
you know what I mean?
Those cats were so amazing to me. Like, they be like, damn, like,
fuck this shit. I ain't gonna never get no good job. I'm out.
I don't give a fuck.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like in our process. You know what I'm saying? They teach us certain things that Gummy like that it's a brick wall in front of you. If this,
yeah.
if you're not this. You know what I'm saying? A lot of it, you know what I'm saying? Once you start adding race to it,
right.
It's like, well, shit, if you're not white or if you don't go, you know what I'm saying, right. Mix it up with the white, like 12th grade,
right.
My guidance counselor told me, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, you should look at this school right here, UF. You should look at MIT, whatever. Because, you know, if you go one of them black schools, they're not going to respect your degree.
Damn. Who is it? White guy or black guy?
Black guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, but then I started thinking, everybody that I felt like was successful, I didn't know many white people at that time. So everybody that I knew that was successful
was black than a motherfucker.
Was black, went to, you know what I'm saying, FAMU, Howard, right. You know what I'm saying, right. Tennessee State.
Right.
I was like, man, you're not really making no sense.
Right.
But, you know, that's how you feel. That's what you're teaching them.
See, but you had evidence.
I had evidence. But what if you just took that shit as is, as the word?
But that's because people don't be exposed to shit. And when you're not exposed to shit, people can tell you anything and you take it as the gospel.
Right.
You know, that's fucked up.
That's because that's, I guess that was his experience. And that's the, and really, in his heart of hearts, he's probably trying to protect you from the world that he knows that exists. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
That whole, you know what I'm saying, systemic racism that exists. So he, like, you know what? You know what I'm saying? To kind of ease up for yourself. Go to one of these, you know what I'm saying?
Try to make it a little easier on you.
Yeah, go to one of these and you'll be straight. You know what I'm saying? They'll take you seriously as a person.
I mean, I see that because it's so much propaganda that'll make you believe that. And what one of my pet peeves or whatever, I don't really go too hard on it because I don't have any kids, but I know people that have graduated from black colleges and universities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And loved it while they were there. But when they get kids, they're reluctant to send their kids to it. Now, obviously, that's their own choice.
Right.
But that shit bugs me out because it's like, well, then that shit almost feels like it was for nothing.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
But you know what I'm saying? To that point, that was during the Obama administration.
Right.
That was heavy.
What's that?
That, you know what I'm saying? Fuck that. I'm going to send my kid to, you know, Harvard, Yale, or whatever. I think right now with this Trump shit,
It's
people that I knew that was talking that talk.
Uh-huh.
That are like, you know what?
I need to send, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They need to go, you know what I'm saying, be around their folks for a minute. Then they could do that for grad school.
Right.
Because
right.
There's people that I know that was very staunch with that shit what you talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now they like, you know what? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They see a whole nother side to it.
Right.
Because that shit is needed right now. Because the thing you get when you're there, at least from my own perspective, when you at an HBCU, the thing you get is you get to see black people in there in a wide spectrum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? From all degrees. You know what I'm saying? From the rich to the poor to the, you know what I'm saying, the regular to, you know what I'm saying, the fast, the slow, the nerd. You know what I'm saying? You get to see them all. So it's not just the black people from your neighborhood that you thought was all black people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now when you finish that and you step in the world and somebody step to you and tell you what black people can and can't be, you got evidence. As you say, you got the receipts.
You can point to this person.
Like, please, man. Come on, man.
Right.
You can't tell me no shit like that because I already know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And amongst all of those black people, shit, I'm on top of the food chain with them, so you can't tell me who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So as a person, I feel like I'm good.
Yeah.
So you know, let's just chop it up from here.
I think that has to be put out there more. Like, yo, you good. Because I'll be honest with you, nobody has ever asked to see my degree to this day. You know what I'm saying? But I think, and then another thing that I was just thinking about, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, not I'm wrong, but just off the top of the head, it's probably 20 dope colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Just fly, like what people say when you think colleges, is about 20 name brand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How many of them do you think are black colleges? Or like how many make the 20 that are black colleges? I feel like we could put some more on the list. If
what
we
you
just,
talking about?
Like when you think about dope ass colleges, right? You mm-hmm. think of Harvard, you think of Yale, you think of MIT, you think of Howard.
Right.
Think of Morehouse. You think of Spelman, maybe. You know what I mean?
I think of FAMU.
I think of Clark Atlanta University first and foremost.
You know,
but I mean, you know, like when you think of what's your top five colleges off the top of the head, Matt? Let's see where he go with it.
I mean, I'll probably just list off the Ivies because those are the ones that are. I mean, you go Harvard, Yale, Princeton.
How did the Columbia, Ivies Penn? Get so hot? I mean, it wasn't.
It was is rich and they old as fuck.
Yeah, they're the oldest, really.
Is that really what it has been? They just been waving the flag longer than everybody else.
They're waving the flag longer for a higher a population of higher income folks.
Because I feel like I don't know at what point. I remember being in sixth grade with a Harvard hat. Right. And I thought that shit was the. First of all, it looked cool. I liked the color of the maroon, but then it was like. It was a statement. Really? Like, Harvard was the motherfucking, you could be anything ass right. school. You know what I'm saying?
That's
but
what, that's what's been out
that
there.
Propaganda is damn near bulletproof.
Right.
I wish that, I want to see some kids with some Clark Atlanta hats on.
I mean, ultimately, it's the oldest, Harvard's the oldest university in North America.
Is it?
Yeah, it's mid 1600s. And also, once, because they're so old, you start getting people who went there become president or become right. prominent people, and then it becomes self- perpetuating of right. okay, this person went there, I want to go there,
right?
And then more successful.
Who was
people.
The first president from Harvard? Anybody know?
No.
Exactly. It was a white guy, though.
I mean, by definition, yes.
By definition.
Well, I know JFK went to Harvard.
Waspy.
So there's one black president, and there were people Harvard presidents before him. So
right. Bird, I guess. By definition.
No, nah, okay, but he about right, though. It ain't like he lied. But as they say, I didn't see no lies nowhere.
Right, I mean,
when you said Harvard, you already thought white. Even though now they had their biggest class of minorities, the minorities in this particular class were more than the whites in this class. They had more minorities in this class than whites.
And they're still called minorities. Well, they wasn't the majority. They was the majority.
Minorities by definition right, of right, American right, definition.
Right, right, right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Because brown people ain't the minorities on this earth anyway, but you know.
On some other shit, speaking of some new shit, I just want to tip my hat to the fact that not only is Columbus Day now Indigenous Peoples Day.
Because the people took it over?
People took that shit over, but I see it even on the iCal. You know, iCal pop up, let you know what holidays is coming up. That shit came up. That shit said regional holiday. I said, yeah! They took that shit back. That shit went to regional. That shit ain't even, that's not, woo-hoo! Anyways, oh, shit. Speaking on some regional shit, this is just an aside on some real New York shit. I think P.O.P.O. might have put Florida Mayo to sleep on the Peruvian chicken wave.
What did you say? You just spoke a whole nother language. I didn't know what the fuck you just said. P.O.P.O. Florida Mayo.
Florida Mayo.
What are these things?
These are restaurants. Now, Florida Mayo is a restaurant that's been around for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And they do a good... They do a good piece of chicken, you know what I mean? Good roasted chicken, which was Peruvian roasted, but I guess they didn't really, from what I seen, they didn't really big it up, tout it as Peruvian chicken. I knew it wasn't like, it tasted different than like a Dominican roasted bird, you know what I mean? But I didn't realize Peruvian chicken was a thing until P.O.P.O. came out.
Mm-hmm.
P.O.P.O., I think P.O.P.O. might mean quack quack, or not quack quack, because that's a duck, but with a cluck cluck in Peru, whatever. But they make a good ass piece of chicken. Mm-hmm. Now, Florida Mayo's been around for a long time. Florida Mayo, allegedly, I'm not all the way sure, but I think it's about 97%, is supposedly the birthplace of the Nutcracker that started at Florida Mayo. So that's what grounds it in history. It's still there. You know what I mean? But that used to be the spot. Right? Mm-hmm. I went there just recently, and I bit into my chicken. I was like, this is good. Tastes like Peruvian chicken, but it ain't fucking with P.O.P. And it wasn't as cracking as it used to be. That shit used to be cracking. It's still a spot. I don't want to all the way shit on it because I just ate there, and it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But just like how Popeyes kind of put KFC to sleep,
yeah.
I think, this is my own little theory, I think P.O.P.O., Might've
I had to get into this. I don't know shit about
if y'all know anything about anything that I just said, hit us in the comments. Hopefully it's somebody that's like, I agree. Or hell no.
Sure, there's always a foodie out there that follow your food exploits.
I try to be out here.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh man. What else is good with you? Anything else?
Nah, man. I mean, speaking of Clark, my son just went to visit Clark this weekend. Clark and Morehouse.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He took a couple of friends from his school. And my wife took three kids to visit the AU center. One girl and a guy, and then my son.
They went to Spelman too, or no?
Yeah, they went to Spelman. She uh-huh. went to Spelman, uh-huh. then you know the son. They went to Morehouse, then uh-huh. they visited Clark. Clark is high up there on my son's list. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
he's looking at that. But he so nah, it ain't that crazy. So he took these, you know, they from Brooklyn. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it was just weird because I'm from Miami, like, so right. it's like, you know, my kid is from Brooklyn, like right. don't know shit else.
Yeah.
So they from Brooklyn, they go out there, you know what I'm saying? They do their thing, and then I have a niece that goes to a prep school out there who was having their homecoming.
In Atlanta.
Uh-huh. So he hooked up with my niece, and they all went to their homecoming dance and shit.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they New York, you right. know what I'm saying? This prep school kids, you know what I'm saying, doing their thing.
Uh-huh.
So it was you know what I'm saying, for my son, he already knew what it was.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, for the other kids from Brooklyn, they was like, it was like a culture shock.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then afterwards, you know, they was catching the Uber to the after party.
Uh-huh.
And they walking through Atlanta like it's Brooklyn.
You know? Right. like it's just a walkable ass city. Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I call them, where you at? We walk to the Captain D's. You walk.
Walk down 85.
Like, what the fuck is you doing? Like, you don't walk down the street right. in Atlanta. You right. call the Uber from where you at.
That's what you know.
You know what I'm saying? They just out there walking the streets all New York and green. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then they go to the after party, you know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother culture shock because now it's one of those, you know, it's prep school kids. Right. So, you know, you got the kids that's coming through with the liquor, you know what I'm saying?
Like spiking it and all
but
that.
Just got the liquor, got the drinks, got the shots, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, my son, he don't drink, you know what I'm right. saying? So he like, what the fuck?
What's going on here?
You know what I mean? Then, you know. One of the people that was with him went and indulged and shit and got, you know what I'm saying? My wife had to, you know what I'm saying, get all up in the mix with the shit. So, you know what I'm saying? So, the Brooklyn kid took it too far.
What'd he do?
Got drunk, got fucked up. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? You know, got with the white boys, uh-huh. came through with the liquor, uh-huh. got fucked up. And, you know what I'm saying? Came back to the spot. Like
twisted,
like what the fuck? Who
turned
done it
all the way up?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Not knowing that shit, you can't play the game that you ain't been playing,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You got to stay in your lane with right. this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Speeding right now,
right? So it was good for me. It was a good lesson for my son.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because he could see it. He could see to not play yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Stay in your lane, do your thing, how you do it, and. You know what I'm saying? If the shit get out of control, because once it got out of control, good thing for him, he had the good sense to call the Uber.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Once the motherfucker got twisted.
Right.
And they got up out of there, come to find out, you know what I'm saying? Police had to come. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
And you know what I'm saying? You know, a couple kids, yeah. you know, had the alcohol poison and all that. So I'm glad he was not on the scene.
Right.
For that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's when Brooklyn could have went wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You out there in the motherfucking, you know, Buckheads
right.
and shit.
Right.
At the house party with no parents.
Nah, yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying? So he got his first, you know, that little taste of, you
seeing
know,
what it was like.
It's out there. You know, he'd been to the little prep school thing, but to be out there on your own kind of and had to navigate it for yourself.
Do you think, and that's interesting to think about, do you think that prep school kids are a little more advanced when it comes to like vices and shit?
No,
like
but
they're
a little freer, you know what I'm saying? It's a little more accessible, you know what I'm saying? So again, my kid went to those schools, and you know, the shit, like when you got bread and you know what I'm saying, you're doing a lot of vacationing and it got a lot of guest houses and you know what I'm saying?
Feel like it's a little bit more alcohol in the scene.
It's definitely a little more alcohol. They're a little more free with letting the kids drink wine and shit,
right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot more like medication that's available and shit.
Pills and shit.
You fuck with your mama pills and you know what I'm saying, around the way, like she gonna know. God damn it.
Seven pills in this.
What the fuck is with medicine?
Let's get mad if you drink her Pepsi.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. They counting the Pepsi, the orange juice,
everything.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a little more free. It's a little more, you know, you do have parents that are more liberal that got a lot of bread.
Right.
So socially, you know what I'm saying, it's kinda, you know. susceptible because, right. you know, it's a lot of bread involved.
Right.
They're a little liberal. They free, you know what I'm saying? And the kids know which one is like that, and they right. go to that's the spot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a safe space.
It's a safe space. It's, supposedly. It's sanctioned. You know what I'm saying? Sanctioned. And there's a lot of that. Like, you know
it's a lot of sanctioned shit.
A lot of sanctioned, a lot of sanctioned fucking and a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Because when you, you know, when you get into a space where, you know, everybody's cool and all the families are of the ilk and, you know what I'm saying, everything's going, everything's good. And then the parents is drinking and right. chilling and, right. you know what I'm saying, doing their thing and eating good and, you know what I'm saying.
It's a and controlled
the,
environment.
And then the kids are off doing their thing, you know what I'm saying.
It's, right.
Nobody's going to get hurt. It's out there. You yeah. know, everything's safe here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It's one of us.
Here. Yeah, everybody's everybody here. Everybody's good. It's from wow. a good family.
I ain't never really, I mean, I'm sure I kind of, I don't think I've ever been in a situation where it was sanctioned fucking. But I definitely.
But I'm saying.
No. I see what you're saying. Maybe not explicitly.
Yeah, it's not said.
No,
but it's you give them enough room. If you put penis and vagina in the same space and give it enough room,
right.
there will be some fucking.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, the sanction is a different thing. Like, I've heard of sanction, like, look, well, they could, if they're going to be here and they want to drink, they could drink as long as they're here. If they want to smoke a little weed, we ain't going, you know, which is always felt extreme to me. That's about extreme. I ain't never really heard of that. Listen, they want to go ahead and get they fuck.
Nah, nobody really saying that. Nobody really saying that. But they, nobody put no controls
right.
to stop that shit either.
They not supervising that.
They not supervising it. You right. know what I'm saying? It was a situation where, you know what I'm saying, you know, we cool with a certain family, you know what I'm saying? And my wife is cool and they over there, you know, they doing their thing. And then they decide they're going to go to the restaurant. And they're going to leave the kids there. The kids there are old enough to take care of themselves and shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? They 15, 16 right. years old at this time. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? I know it's cool and they done known each other for all these many years and shit. Right. But you just can't leave.
Let's not throw an alley.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I call sanctions. Like, when you just leave the open.
Right.
You leave the lane open.
Right.
Because everything's good. They good kids. They not gonna do shit, but shit.
Let me ask you, because you're a parent. Does that come from, you think that is, and obviously it's every case is different, but, and in general, do you think that's more of parents just, the job of parenting could be so exhausting that you like, look, we about to go have a drink. They cool. Hopefully they don't do no shit. Now, obviously, they able-bodied, it could happen.
Right.
But it's more of a, like, listen, I just need a break. Or is it like a lapse in judgment?
Wait, no, you know what I mean? It's like you trust, like, you get to a certain point, you feel like this set of kids, they wouldn't do nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? That's a thought process.
And that's kind of you projecting your own
right, you
hopes.
Right. You're like, this things are good kids. They right. don't get in no trouble.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They responsible. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if you dip out a few minutes, come back, yeah, they're gonna be. Or if you leave those kids independently, yeah, they're gonna be cool. They're gonna, you know what I'm saying? But see, when I came up, it was always multiple levels of controls.
Right.
So if you're gonna leave the kids, it's going to be one motherfucker that's outside of that fray, that's older,
right.
that's watching over the scenario.
Start to run the show.
You know what I'm saying? That's, you know what I'm saying? That's meaner than the grandma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
they got a little power now.
Right.
So it's always, you always leave some controls.
Right.
But in these types of situations, a lot of times it just be peers, you know what I'm saying? They're good kids. They right. not, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you say if your family in Martha's Vineyard, all the kids, they all good kids. You know what I'm right. saying? They just out on the beach. You know what I mean?
It's a vacation.
It's a vacation. It's lovely. We do this every year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And shit happens.
Be a vineyard, baby.
Exactly. But, you know, that's what I call sanction. Not that you say, hey, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and knock yourself out,
get
player.
Your shit off.
Get it off now.
Go these condoms. I got some condoms in my, you know what I mean? My medicine cabinet.
But yeah, man, shit like that, you know.
Oh man!
So it is like when there's more resources, it do get a little more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When shit tight, you know what I'm saying? You're in the apartment, and you know what I'm saying? don't close no doors in my house.
Right, like that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was shit. Always hearing that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Where did you stand growing up? I mean, not growing up, but with your children. Where'd you stand with, like, get a little sip of beer?
Nah, I ain't with
never
it.
That.
Nah.
Never.
That shit, nah. Mm, I ain't good. With you find that out on your own. Later, when you're ready. But I'm not finna just, just take some of this beer shit.
That's what's up.
Cause it wasn't like that. I'm worse than in my house. Nobody, my pops, that shit wasn't even in my house.
Right.
I'm not saying that he ain't do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He just wasn't.
They'll smoke some reefer.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
That was more normal than liquor.
Yeah, they wanted. It was no liquor never lived in my house.
Right.
Never. Right. I've never seen liquor live in the house.
And back in the day, reefer was a little bit more of a drug than liquor. It was a little bit less. But in your spot, you said it was a little bit more normalized.
Yeah, it was more.
But it was never you could get ahead of this.
Hell no.
Okay.
Nah.
I done been in some households where certain shit was normalized.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. Like, my grandma, she would smoke. She would smoke with my older cousins who wasn't grown. That was, like, just teeter-totters, 18-ish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which I thought was really weird. But motherfuckers be making, they make decisions off of situational decisions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no. You know what I'm saying? Hey, yeah, come on, you know what I'm saying?
You look old enough. Go ahead.
You ready? You done been around the block.
Don't you tell your father.
Four, five times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, you ain't green. You know what I'm saying? One of these suburb kids.
Hilarious. You'll be all right. All right.
Not, you know what I'm saying? But nah, ain't nobody never offered me no reefer. Mm.
Yeah. I ain't get no reefer offers from parents and no shit like that. But I remember growing up, I might get a sip of beer or something every so often. But I do remember one of my homeboys, I went to his crib. I was young, but his moms let him curse. And this wasn't even like a white friend. This was like one of my black friends. And he was cursing with his moms. Yeah, that shit was crazy. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. It blew my fucking mind. Like, wow. But you know, everything is everything.
Yeah, you know, and you had to manage your situation your way, and then you had to manage when your kids go into other situations. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like I said, to see, you know, how my kids would react in a situation, you know what I'm saying? I don't put no heavy hand on it. I just sit back and watch it. You know what I'm saying? And if I got something to say, I'll say it. You know what I mean? I ain't going to never not say what I got to say.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, as far as how I heard he handled the situation.
He was proud.
You know what I'm saying?
Dope.
I'm like, yeah. He, you know what I mean? I ain't got no real problems with that.
Black fathers.
Black fathers.
There it is. I feel like at that point, we might as well roll out, man. I feel like that's a great place to end.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? A good black fathers wrap up.
Hey.
Let the people know where you're going
to
be.
Man, I'm headed to the bottom, my nigga.
Uh-oh.
That's 305, uh-oh. Dade County.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I'm saying? Hometown, motherland.
I thought Louisiana was the bottom.
Nah, nigga, Miami is the bottom.
I'm the bottom of the mountain. Well, that's Jeezy.
Jeezy just that's said the bottom of the mountain, right. But Miami was
the official bottom.
The bottom. Miami is the official Magic City.
All right, there you go. That was co-opted as well.
Well, you know, the trans state stripper game in Miami and Atlanta was, you know, heavy.
It became all one little continent.
Yeah, it was all the same people just going back and forth. So Rolex, Magic City, Nikki's Rolex. But yeah, I'm going to be in Miami, then Charlotte on Sunday.
Mm.
And then back up top to get back in the conversation.
All right. I'm going to be here in the city. I don't think I have much going on. Again, my phone is dead, so I can't see what's going on. But Comedy Knockout Thursdays at 11 p.m. And until then, In the Conversation every Wednesday. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Just a shit.
We out.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.